Good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday. It is 8 o'clock, and it's time for New Jersey Revolution Radio Live with Diane Moxley. I am Brian Powers. We are here at NJRR North Studios. Tonight, we will be talking to Jackie Wenzel, who you may remember, one of our very first guests when New Jersey Revolution Radio was just a cell phone. And I had to go out to my car to record interviews. So it was a long time ago, but Jackie is taking some steps forward. We're going to talk to her in just a bit. But good evening, Diane. How are you?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay.
Before we get started tonight, I think one of the things I've been proud of the activist community here in New Jersey for so many things over the years, but over the last couple of weeks, as things have developed in Venezuela, we've needed to show solidarity with the Venezuelan people, with peace in general, and a number of comrades have gone down to Washington, D.C. to help protect the embassy, to get supplies to the embassy protectors, and to get word out. I mean, to talk about what's going on at the embassy. And before we leap into all the just amazing work that our NJRR live streamers have done there, Diane, you probably have the latest and greatest. I was out today. I was working. I was doing some school stuff. But what did you hear today about what's going on either at the embassy or with the situation in general?
Well, I guess, you know, for the past week plus, I think it was before the military coup attempt by the self-declared President Juan Guaido, which was going right before May Day. It seemed like before that, and I could be wrong, but it seemed like people could come and go in the Venezuelan embassy a little bit easier. And that's our friends and comrades at the Embassy Protection Collective.
Right. And we should, of course, name Kevin Zeese and Margaret Flowers.
Popular Resistance. They've been there, I think, probably at least 2 weeks. I know Code Pink started it and have probably been there for 3 to 4 weeks. And then there's the org, I believe it's called Answer.
Okay, that's a new one. I haven't heard of that one.
I might be getting that wrong. Yeah, so they're one. It's a coalition of organizations, and you know, it seems like about a week ago is when they've now not been able to come and go. So to protect the embassy, they have to stay in there. And I'm wondering if it's because there's been a strong presence of the opposition out front.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering maybe they can't get out, or the opposition will come in.
Right.
It's almost like letting vampires into your house, right? You know.
You know. And speaking of the opposition, so let's jump in here to some of these clips, because you know, as we've grown in New Jersey Revolution Radio, not only are we covering New Jersey, we have some of our live streamers, Tom Violet.
Yeah.
Who
did some great streaming over the weekend.
We started the stream, I didn't even tell you this in the pre-show. He got a message from Telesure. They're going to use some of New Jersey Revolution's radio's footage on Telesure, which is the English version of South American television. So that's really exciting. A huge step for New Jersey Revolution Radio.
And yeah, he got some great footage. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, Tom, man, just a bang up job down there. And Cora Santa Guida from Connecticut, not even from New Jersey. See, I am starting to reach out beyond the borders of our great nation for help. Yeah. Cora was down there. Let's listen to Bob talking to, of course, another good friend of the show and New Jersey Revolution Radio, Bob Witanic, right across from the street. And you'll hear some of the chaos in the background.
Yeah.
Can you tell me your name and why you're here?
Bob Witanic, New Jersey Anti-War Agenda. I'm here in solidarity with the nation and people of Venezuela to demand no U.S. war, no U.S. coup. Respect the right of the Venezuelan nation and people. Respect the integrity of the consular services of Venezuela. This is part of the proof that the Secret Service has the guests of the Venezuelan people under siege right now. That's a coup operation. It's an act of war on U.S. soil by the United States against the U.S. people.
So just to describe the scene there just a little bit for those of you that
are listening. Tell people what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's the right wingers, the supporters of this clown, Juan Guaido, are in front of the embassy. While those, you know, the protectors are inside, boarded up, they've got microphones and speakers, and they're holding up signs, no coup. Mm-hmm. And whenever they start to talk, the people in the front start to make noise. Our side, the supporters of the people of Venezuela and democracy and common friggin' sense.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to get a little upset there.
No, it's upsetting.
So, yeah. Sorry, you know, they're across the street and they're trying to communicate. They're trying to get food in. They're trying to, you know, support. Mm-hmm. But the police have decided that the right-wing fascist supporters of Juan Guaido should be right up against the building while the protectors are kind of forced to stay across the street.
Yeah.
It's a tough situation, but good job by Tom getting that interview during the chaos, you know?
Yeah, that's great. And I know what's been happening almost daily. They're trying all sorts of creative ways of getting food up into the embassy because the protectors can't come and go.
Right.
There was a great clip, I wish I could remember who had it, of showing the levels they had to go to sort of distract and move the opposition to then somehow rope a bag of food and then have it quickly propelled up into the building. And that was successful. And today I understand Jerry Condon with Veterans for Peace was arrested probably just a bit ago, and maybe about an hour plus ago, for throwing a missile. And what is that missile? He was throwing a cucumber up into the Venezuelan embassy. And it sounds like, I'm assuming there's some video that, you know, he was pretty much tackled to the ground and arrested. And it sounds like the one item was a cucumber. So, you know, just want to send our best wishes to our Embassy Protection Collective. Keep up the good work. I hope to get down there. So if anybody in our area would like to go down there.
When are you going?
Brian, I don't know. I've got a busy schedule, but as soon as I get a little opening, you know, we're right in the...
I almost feel like I have to go now because all the comrades are headed down there. They're making me look bad.
Yeah, you know? I think they need support. And as far as I know, they're still asking for people to come out there. So, whenever you can, you just take a day trip down for the people in our area. For my friends, message me if you want to go down there and we could arrange a carpool, right? So Brian, we'll get that going. So keep following that and hopefully we'll get some more information and maybe we'll be there in person in the next few days to send our love, support, and hopefully some food.
If you can get there, get there, right?
That's absolutely the
point. We encourage everybody to get there. There's a ton of information. We'll be putting, of course, links on the Facebook page, out on Twitter, out on the website, all that to make sure, you know, the people know what's going on and they know how to support the defenders of democracy there.
Yep.
Really quick, we've committed, of course, to reminding everybody about Jameik Lowry's murder in Paterson, New Jersey. We don't have a lot of new updates. I took a look at the Facebook page today. There's not a lot, but that says a lot that there's not a lot to talk about because there's still a lot of questions. And now we're pushing 130 days since this man was killed by the police. And that's what we know. Which police? We don't know. How? We don't know. But the last report, if you've been following here on a weekly basis, was that the report came out that they used what term did they use? Constraining holds or?
Yeah, so there were some type of constraint holds on Jameik Lowry.
Yes. Compliance holds.
Compliance holds.
That's what. So in other words, they killed him. They killed him in the ambulance. And they don't want to say who or how or why or when or anything or why a man who wasn't charged with a crime was killed by police in the back of an ambulance. So, again, you know, we just ask that people, again, pay attention to this. Call the prosecutor's office. Call the governor's office. Call State Attorney General Kabir Graywall. Call the FBI. Find out why they're not investigating the Paterson police further on this and why we're getting public statements that are so crazy. That's not an investigation. You don't put out an if you do a real investigation, your conclusion isn't, well, he got into an ambulance and then he showed up dead at the hospital.
And we don't know how.
You know, and they use compliance holds.
And I don't know if we have the report released yet on I thought there was supposed
to be. No, they have not released the coroner's report.
The coroner's report. They have not released
the coroner's report. The Democrats in charge of our establishment are Donald Trumping us by not allowing full reports out, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, while you read, and I know there's a not, we're not going to talk a lot about Donald Trump today and his BS, because all they're doing is exposing stuff we already knew. Elected a con man as your president, but
a really bad businessman.
Right. I mean, this is nothing new, but you know what? It is hypocritical because Democrats do the same shit. They're covering up, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, the establishment is corrupt, and Jameik Lowry's murder in Patterson is just one of too many examples of tragedy and the system protecting the system rather than just standing up for justice. So
my heart goes out to the friends and family of Jameik Lowry. I can't imagine the you know, how Jameik's mother is handling this. I just, as a mother, I cannot can't comprehend it.
Horrifying.
My heart goes out to them all.
Horrifying. And one last thing before we get to our interview is Uber and Lyft are striking today. And I don't know if anybody in the room drives Uber or Lyft or takes Uber or Lyft or wants to admit that they do. I don't use the service. I usually get on a train if I got to go somewhere, but I understand why people do. It's affordable transportation in a day and age where there's a lot of people that can't afford cars and stuff like that. But tell me about the Uber. I'm looking at the strike here. It says this is an article on NPR that I'm reading ahead of Uber's initial public offering.
Yep.
I guess they're doing an IPO tomorrow. They're going to make billions and billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Drivers in 10 cities across the country are taking action on Wednesday. That's today.
Yeah.
To draw attention to what they say are decreasing wages for drivers and a distressing lack of job security. Some are calling on passengers to temporarily boycott the ride hauling services too. So what do we know about this, Diane?
Yeah, well, you know, this is the growing gig economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the cities in the U.S. that we're striking are cities that have cab ride service unions, where in, you know, a place like New Jersey, we don't have unionized cab unions.
Right.
So it's a little bit different here. And, you know, it's complex. I don't know, you know, the one problem is, I know, Brian, you were a member of a union and worked for a union.
Yes.
I was
just got
a member.
Fired by one.
Yeah. Yeah, we could talk about the pros and cons of unions,
that's
but that's
show.
Another
that's
show.
Whole show.
Yeah, there's a whole lot there. I was a union member for over 14 years with the National Organization of Legal Services Workers under the UAW. And, you know, it's a whole lot easier when you're trying to organize in an office environment. So this is the problem with the gig economy. How do you organize? I know they're going to try.
Mm-hmm.
I wish them good luck. There's nothing wrong with fighting for job security and higher wages. I think right now they're saying the average Uber earns 10 to 12 an hour. But, you know, if you're in, you know, certain areas, I'm sure the economy's different and you're getting a whole lot less. Uber makes a whole lot off of you. And I guess they're trying to push it up to something like 15 or 20 per hour. And, you know, I've got an issue, 15 an hour in New Jersey and New York. That's a poverty wage. So please don't even touch 15. Go right for 20.
I'd love to see more, you know, collectives. And I just wish that working class people, if you drive a car, you don't need Uber. I really, you know, Uber just leeches off of this labor. And I'd really, this something like this in this day and age with the technology that they're using, there's no reason for this not to be a collective. There's no reason for every Uber driver to share in the profits of this company.
Yeah.
The technology exists. The system is from the Middle Ages and, you know, it needs to be updated. And I think that's up to the workers to do. And yeah, I think you brought up a good point, you know, office workers, Uber drivers, people you don't think of traditional union labor, right?
Mm-hmm.
I worked with a lot of those people representing them when I worked at the union I just got canned from.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw in that is people that take real pride in their work, that are professionals, that show up on time every day, do good job, but they don't feel rewarded by that work. And it doesn't have as much to do with money as it does from the respect on the job. And what I would tell people, and what I'll tell people out there, is you got to realize boss isn't going to respect you on the job, and you have to respect yourself, and you have to respect your coworkers, and you have to respect, you know, your own labor. But don't expect a capitalist pig to respect your labor. They're just there to profit off of it.
Yeah.
And I think once you start to get that mindset, whether you're an Uber driver, whether you're an accountant, whether you are a fashion model, you know, I think you have to realize that your labor has real value. And that you need to respect it before you can expect anybody else to respect it.
Yeah.
And to bargain with you and to give you fair wages and all that stuff. So I'll just say that about that.
Yeah. So
we do have to get to talking to our friend Jackie.
Absolutely.
I know I usually step out of the way before the interview, but Jackie, for those, I'll just give background because we've been going back a year now or so.
Yeah.
Jackie, I interviewed first in my car in the driveway. We didn't have an office, literally on a cell phone. That's what it was. And now she's here in our New Jersey Revolution Radio studio. So Jackie, thanks a lot for joining us. We're going to get to you in just 1 second. Okay. We have to play a commercial and then we'll be right back. New Jersey Revolution Radio live.
I'm Kate McLaughlin. On my show, Healthcare Confidential, I will examine the issues that are affecting your health and well-being in New Jersey and around the country. I will bring my 20 years of healthcare experience to inform you about what insurance companies and hospitals don't want you to know. So join me on my bi-monthly Healthcare Confidential show right here on New Jersey Revolution Radio.
Kate's first show is out already on Healthcare Confidential. She's reported on deadly fungus. It has been known in New Jersey. This has been going around. It's really serious stuff. I suggest that if you are going, there are some hospitals that are reporting on it. I did see on the stream, and there was some follow-up feedback that some hospitals are letting patients know about this, but not everybody's aware of what's going on. So I suggest you check out our new show, Healthcare Confidential, with Kate McLaughlin, so for information on the deadly fungus. And then every 2 weeks, she'll be giving us more updates on politics, healthcare, and more. All right.
Excellent.
Jackie, thanks a lot. And I'll let you and Diane chat for a while here. Enjoy your time.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Jackie, for being here, because I know you are in the thick of it right now.
Yeah, these are the final days leading up to May 14th is the election. So.
Wow. So, yeah. So you just about a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so for our viewers, you are running for what? Where?
I'm running for a seat on the council in Ocean Township, New Jersey.
Okay.
And I really, you know, it's incredible. It's been 2 years, actually, when I first got involved in this Save 32 Acres. It really started as trying to preserve a historic farmland. It's historic woodland that was Native American. And then an early American house was actually, there was a time when actually the Woolley family lived with the Indians on that, on that property. So it goes back, there's a bit of you know, New Jersey history, New Jersey corruption, and
we've got a lot of that in New Jersey.
And the story,
it's our secondary motto, right?
Yeah. I had learned about it when neighbors had knocked on my door. That's how I first learned about it. That was in 2001. And they got me involved. And their group at the time was called the Concerned Citizens of Ocean Township.
Hmm.
And they had shared with me, because I was still fairly new to the community. I moved in 97, so I didn't know a lot of the backstories, but we had a previous mayor who, after he was given, you know, they knew that the land had been found eligible to be listed in the National Registry of Historic Places on two counts, the early American farmhouse, as well as the Native American woodland. And the woodland there is the Lenape Indians.
Okay.
And the mayor knew that, and instead of going forward with the nomination, that we were found eligible and that he didn't go forward with it. Instead, somehow he was convinced to rezone it high-end commercial.
Okay.
And it came at a time when he had been rezoning a lot of properties in town. And before the project could, thankfully, before they started cutting down trees and the project went forward, that mayor was arrested. He pled guilty to rezoning for profit to himself, for three different developers in exactly that time period that land was rezoned.
Wow. So was he getting kickbacks or what was he?
He admitted he pled guilty to receiving money from developers, from three unnamed developers. So I don't know what type of deal that was that you, if he pled guilty, he didn't have to name who the developers were, but he did name the period of time. And in exactly that time period, this particular 32 acres of land was rezoned high-end commercial. So when people say that's not what he necessarily went to jail for, I said, no, I know, but I seriously doubt those 32 acres were rezoned for free based on his mode of operation. But, you know, it's, you know, he did plead guilty and that was the time period.
Okay.
So when I learned that, it certainly made sense to rescind that property, that overlay zone, especially to the fact that the mayor had gone to jail. Why didn't the township just rescind that rezoning and make up some way to the buyer? Obviously, a company bought it to develop it. They meant to develop it as a Stop and Shop property. And, you know, I think over the years, we should have been able to make good with them. It's been, you know, over about 15 years. So my question to the current council is, why in all these years have you not rescinded that overlay zone and started to get Green Acres funding?
Yeah.
In the last 2 years, I got re-involved in this project again because there's a new proposed developer to buy the land.
Okay.
So Stop and Shop couldn't do it because at the time when they were ready to move forward, the deputy mayor, who was then had become mayor because the mayor had gone to jail. It's a little bit of a complicated story. Yeah. Sorry to get too deep into it. But it's the basis of what drives me.
It's
really what at the core when I that why I fight so hard to protect that land, because it had a messy beginning in terms of it was protected under this national registry
and questionably rezoned.
Exactly. So then it was so fresh in everyone's mind because the mayor had just gone to jail.
And
the community protested in 2001, 2002. I think the deputy mayor, who, you know, was quite close, obviously must know what business was going on in town. He prevented that development, Stop and Shop, to go forward by shrinking the footprint of the commercial overlay zone. And there was nothing in the Stop and Shop plans that would really be able to fit into the smaller commercial overlay zone. So they've sat with the land that they haven't been able to develop and obviously paying taxes on the land. So they're ready to sell that land.
Yeah.
And they have a buyer now.
Okay.
There's a proposed developer that would like to go in and create a whole lot more development than the Stop and Shop would have put in with just a supermarket. And, you know, there were other parts of the Stop and Shop development, but the what's being proposed today is quite outstanding in size and usage. So what is an interesting little twist to it is I've been inspired to start attending the meetings again on a regular basis when I learned that there's a proposed developer. And I had hoped perhaps if we explained to him that, you know, it was found eligible to be in the national registry, he might find another place to develop and see why we really felt so passionately about the land. It would be nice to have a national landmark in our township versus a Wawa gas station with a convenience store. So we have, so our current council has made very specific zoning changes.
Okay.
Different from the shrinking of the footprint that the deputy mayor had done back in the past. The current council has approved an ordinance called 2303.
Okay.
And this ordinance rezoned that property to accept a Wawa gas station with convenience store.
Okay.
A Marriott, a beige box of a Marriott hotel. That always drives me crazy because I just think there's something not really very attractive about a Marriott hotel. But anyway, it's 4-story Marriott hotel and 70 plus urban style townhouses.
Wow.
Banks
that's a
of
lot.
Residential.
Yeah.
The master
70 plus
urban style townhouses that will sit on that property. So I mentioned those three. There is a lot more to this development, but I mentioned these three because these are the three uses that had to be rezoned. We never had before a Wawa gas station with a convenience store on one lot, particularly on that lot. It was never zoned for that.
But
we never had zoning for a four-story hotel, and we never had zoning for 70-plus townhouses. Deal Road, which is the street that I live on, was zoned, the part of that property that was zoned on Deal Road was for 40 single-family homes.
Okay.
So from an environmentalist perspective, the amount of impervious ground cover on 40 single-family homes, you know, there's yards and backyards and trees and things that would absorb stormwater runoff. With this type of development, which we have a lot of them right now, sadly, they have blocked the ocean. We have down in South Jersey, in that part of Monmouth County, we have Ocean Avenue. And it literally was Ocean Avenue. You could drive from the Highlands practically almost to Deal and watch the ocean the entire way. When they did the redevelopment in Long Branch, they put up these urban style townhouses. So for the people that lived across and once had a home that had an ocean view, now they have a view of the back of all these townhouses. It's just terrible. I mean, it's heartbreaking because the landscape of the Jersey shoreline there, especially from the Highlands to Deal and Ocean Grove, had a very historic character. It was always like very Victorian, you know, these beautiful Victorian homes by the sea, because a lot of that was built, you know, in 1800s, early 1900s. And that was a character that I remember as a child. So when I came back to that area, I was drawn to that. I would show it off, you know, because people talk about the Hamptons. I'd say, you have to see this Jersey part of the Jersey Shore. It's really beautiful. And it has these historic, beautiful Victorian homes.
Absolutely.
And sadly, due to Sandy, many of them were damaged. So instead of, you know, restoring them and bringing them back, many developers knocked them down and built these new commercial developments. And it's really changed the character of that whole shoreline.
So we're losing a lot of, like you said, areas where there's trees. Maybe grass isn't the best thing, but it's sure better than concrete.
Absolutely.
So I'm assuming with something like the Wawa, the convenience store, the four-story Marriott, and the 70-plus townhouses, there's not a lot of trees.
3,750 trees have been inventoried on this for the planning board part of the process, which we are in right now. We're in the planning board part of the process.
Okay.
And they are, that will come down. There will be
3,750
trees, mature trees.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm learning from one of my running mates, Ray Podquist, who is an environmentalist, who I hope, if I have the opportunity to be one of the five council members chosen
this
election.
We hope he's the other.
I hope he's one of them. I hope he, absolutely, because I would love to work with him because he's so knowledgeable about the environmental issues.
Okay.
He's studied environmental science in George Washington University, and he works for the DEP currently, and he has for the last 19 years.
Okay.
So he's very learned in environmental and how much water. He tells me, and of course, I'm sorry to say I forget, how many gallons of water a tree holds that never touches the ground. And we're having more rain in New Jersey, record-breaking rain. Last year, we had record-breaking rain, and from what I'm told now, this far into the year has exceeded what the same time frame was last year.
Okay.
So water is not going away. Global warming is real. We know that.
So it's only going to accelerate.
Certainly not a time to take down 3,750 trees. And the reason I put the pressure on the council at many of these council meetings is that they did have time. And I understand why the Stop and Shop wants to sell this property. I completely understand. And they should be able to. But I'd like to see them sell it to us, to the township. I'd like to have seen why in this last 2 years that I've gotten very involved because of the proposed development. I've been advised from friends that I made at the Sierra Club to go after Green Acres, and they advise, go to Monmouth Conservation Foundation. They have funding, and they'll lead you to other funding. And the folks at both Sierra Club and Monmouth Conservation Foundation have been terrific.
Great.
And not only are they passionate for the environment and all the things that we're discussing, they know how to take action, and they know how to get to, you know, they raise funds all year long.
Yeah.
And what we had to have, which our current mayor did do, and it was a great thing that he did, he did put a referendum up that we would vote for open space. Did the taxpayers want to pay a tax for open space? And that referendum, that vote won 2-1. We won 2-1 on okay. that. So
where's that open space going to be?
Well, exactly. This is the last bit of open space, really significant piece, because what I learned with the Green Acres funding that exists from, there's New Jersey Green Acres, like I said, Modern Conservation. There are many different Green Acres funding.
And maybe you could piece it together.
Yes, you piece it together. You may not get it all at one shot, but if we had been doing this for the last 15 years, we probably would have paid our debt to Stop and Shop by now.
So
I was getting very frustrated at these meetings because people kept saying it's a done deal, nothing you can do about it now. Mm. And we saw the loophole with this zoning. We tried to protest the zoning and the council just rushed it through. And we said, why are you rushing it through? And they said, to put a lawsuit to bed. Well, that just wasn't good enough reason for me to take down 3,750 trees, especially when people are constantly talking about flooding now. They say in the last 5 years, with all the overdevelopment in Ocean Township, and just Monmouth County in general has had a lot of overdevelopment. The water has, you know, it's just the stormwater is just all the impervious ground cover is shedding all this water into the streets.
There's nowhere to go. It's not getting absorbed.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And so now with this piece of land, you know, I've tried to say to the developer, why don't, you know, because I think if I should, if I should be lucky enough to get on one of these five seats, I would like to see how this can be done, because I have a lot to learn. I've never been in a political situation where, you know, working for a town council, I'd be part, you know, that's why I need to work with some of the people that are already in place.
Sure,
I want to be one of them there.
Yeah.
Where I can have some learning on the job training, but how you would work with the taxes, where there would be a tax incentive for instead of this current developer to tear up this land, this valuable land that has such historic significance, to have, you know, make it interesting to them to say, perhaps go to the owner of these strip malls that are 75% vacant and say, listen, let me buy you out of this. Let me take this off your hands.
And maybe give the developer a break in that situation.
Give them tax breaks.
Yeah, redevelop what's already there. And maybe, so do you have, so I'm assuming then you have some empty storefronts and empty.
Right across the street.
Wow.
Right
across the street. It's just madness that they would be taking down 3,750 trees when there's things to already.
When I'm looking across the street at a parking lot of a beige strip mall, 75% vacant.
So
it's just a crime.
Give them some type of break to redo that. Maybe tear down chunks if they need to put their stamp on it. But to
I mean, they could take up what's there now. You know, dig up the concrete, knock down what's there, and build their Ocean Town Center there. I think, you know, I don't think their design is a bad design. I think it's a good design for people that are, you know, it's like in Shrewsbury, one of these, you know, they want to have an upscale looking shopping center. But it also has a lot of things we don't need. You have a Chick-fil-A, you know, fast food Chick-fil-A. I know there are fans out there. I know that. But they line up and they need a police to direct the traffic. We already have such an intense traffic situation in Ocean Township. We can't afford to have a Chick-fil-A on that corner. We really can't. And then you, and also in the summer, Deal Road is one of the main corridors when people get off the parkway, get on 35, and then head to the beach, to, especially to Asbury, since Asbury Park has now become really quite a destination again, which I'm thrilled about. I mean, that's really exciting, because when I was a kid, I loved Asbury Park. And we went there all the time as kids. And then, you know, it had its moment that no one was taking care of it, and, you know, didn't have money. And now the money's back there. And it's doing very well. And that's really exciting. So I'm happy for it. It's not that I'm not for development. I'm for the improving and bettering of the town and of the state. And of our country. I just don't believe in tearing up nature, because it's also a natural habitat to such beautiful plantings and the deer, and there's everything. I mean, we have beautiful birds. There's also an American bald eagle in that region there.
In that area.
Yeah,
so
you can see them every once in a while. They'll
get disturbed, whatever. Eaglets or whatever they're also called, if there's any in the area,
But I've heard, I've spoken to people about that. I say, we have a bald eagle, and they're like, well, only if he has a nest at that moment, and then they wait for the family to be born, And then once the nest is gone, they just start chopping down trees. So you have to really hold a strong, firm hand on that. And I have made a suggestion at the town. We had a debate at the League of Women's Voters this week, and that was
great.
That was exciting. I'd never
so
been.
So is yourself and all of the other
all of the nine candidates.
Okay. Yep. There's nine candidates for five open chairs. Seats.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So how was the debate?
It was exciting. It was very formal, okay. And it had a decorum that was very professional. And I was excited. I was slightly nervous getting started because it just all of a sudden I felt just as sort of beginning jitters. But once I got into it, I got on a roll. I was kidding with my husband.
Passion and a purpose, and that's what we need. We need regular citizens who are going to meetings like you're going to and doing the research, doing the work.
Well, my husband's very helpful in the law, pursuing it from lawsuit, because he's in he's a project manager. He works with master plans and communities all the time, and he knows a bit of the law there. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing, it is our master plan has not really been formally adopted since 1990. It just continually gets rezoned.
So there's no planning.
There's no integrity to that master plan anymore.
Planning, just piecemeal. Yeah.
To keep a township in balance, a township, a city. And that's a lot of what started to get my attention. I started seeing these giant homes. On a street with little Cape Cod, working class families, sweet Cape Cod homes, and then a giant, what looks like a commercial bank, and it's a home.
Yeah.
Well, how can that be a home? It's a big cement, three-story, it has this sort of driveway that goes up and around, like a circular driveway, but it looks like it looks like an event space, like you pull up and have a wedding there or something. It doesn't look like
they're all over New Jersey. I know I'm in Garwood and I'm kind of squished in between Westfield and Cranford, and they just love to tear one house down and build two giant houses bigger than the original one, and they're right up against each other, and it's
no land around them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and we worry about that. We don't have the same kind of problems as you do in Ocean Township, but even in a place like Garwood, they were looking at a spot that was open land that's not too far from my house, and I don't know what's going on. But Cranford especially has had significant flooding problems. We had Hurricane Irene, and this large open spot of it's a lot of trees and nature. And they want to build a big development there.
Why?
And the water, it needs to go somewhere. You can't have a bunch of concrete. No. Well, they just see any open space, right?
I know. And I think people, I have to say, the reason I'm running is the majority of the people have been extremely supportive. I look in the meeting and I go, where is everybody? There's like hardly anyone showing up at the town council meetings. And then the mayor says, well, I now film them and people can see it at home. So, I was thinking, but they're not showing up. And I it's great you're having it filmed, but, we're not standing together as a community and engaging and exchanging ideas.
Yeah.
So I've been a little thinking, I'm not so sure that was such a great idea. But then I have to say to you,
okay,
as I've been campaigning and as I've been going around, I knock on a door and I say, hi, they go, I know who you are. I see you on the meetings. I see you on TV. And I'm like, really? You're really watching those meetings? And
so
they
you're
said,
showing
yes.
up and you're getting your voice heard at these meetings, and you're raising awareness when people are watching
people
it. Great.
In line with our thinking, with Ray and my thinking in terms of, the environmental, impact such a development will have on us. And that was really exciting, I have to say. And they would say to me, even before I started knocking on doors for, running, people would say to me, I love hearing what you say at the meetings. I watch you on TV. Mm-hmm. Why don't you run for council? I said, I've never done that. I've run businesses. I've start up many businesses. I work in the fashion industry. I started early in my career as a buyer, but as I advanced, you know, they don't let you be a buyer for too long. You're pressured to get promotions.
To move up.
So I eventually became president of two of the companies that I was run, you know, managed. And I know how to manage budgets. I know how to run a business. I know how to manage a team. I have tireless energy. And you know, I have a lot of enthusiasm. It's just in me. I feel like I was born with that. Also, I had a dad who went to Dale Carnegie, and he used to have us march around the house. I tell the story, but it's a true story because it was a Dale Carnegie like motto. Like before there was a, what was his name, Tim Robbins. There was Dale Carnegie. And he'd say, he'd make us march around the house and say, "Act enthusiastic, and you'll be enthusiastic." And we would do that as kids, but I really believe that sense of enthusiasm was imprinted in me as a kid. So when I take on a project, I bring that.
It's just
to it
there
because it was it was instilled in us as kids. And it's funny to remember him that way because I have to say that was one of the things. We used to march around the house and do his lessons with him.
And I'm sure then that comes out even at the videoed town council meeting.
I'm not sure
that just comes across because it comes across this evening.
I don't know. But I can tell like a polished politician. Now I am a polished business person because I know the decorum for my industry. But when it comes to these neighborhood relationships and what I'm doing to try and save this land, I feel more soulfully connected to it, if that makes any sense. Like I feel like I'm rolling up my sleeves, I'm putting my heart into this. And I want, you know, we need more people to come out. You know, we need them to come to the planning board meetings so the mayor can see. I need the mayor to come to the planning board meetings. He, for some reason, isn't showing up the planning board meetings. And I said, we really need you there because we need you to see how the people feel and what's really being presented, because there's some dangerous traffic situations that are being presented right now. And that's a problem because that's a danger. There are a lot of young drivers in our community, kids just getting out of high school, just getting their license. And to have one of our main roads at such a busy intersection, having people kind of crisscrossing basically, because for them to go east to get into this development, this new proposed
development. New traffic pattern.
You're going to be crossing into people that are coming out of a jug handle to get onto Route 35. And they're presenting this. I'm thinking, this doesn't make any sense at all. There's no way this is going to work.
And it sounds like, again, the planning's not there.
Well, we need a traffic expert. But sadly, our township council has not hired a traffic expert to represent the people. So my husband and I have had to dig into our own pockets. Which has been, you know, it's expensive. So, and another neighbor. Okay. Every time the traffic expert comes, it's $1,100.
Wow.
So we did it one time. Okay. Actually, we're going to have him come at the end. We couldn't have the traffic expert there every meeting because we can't afford to do that out of our own pockets. But there another neighbor had him come for the first meeting.
Okay.
And now we're keeping the traffic expert informed because all these meetings are on film, and then he will come when he's able to testify. But it's not fair. We're tax-paying residents.
And to put out money and now I see that you have the save32acres.org. Are you doing any fundraising for your
I am. I have a GoFundMe account for save32acres.org, and it has been helpful.
Okay.
It has helped us because we've been able to, paying for lawn signs. I'll tell you, it's shocking to me how expensive lawn signs can be.
I know.
I mean, I was like, oh my God, that was a little, you know, because especially in the beginning, our GoFundMe, we'd get, you know, $5, every dollar helps.
Yeah.
But you know, there were donations of like 20 in the beginning, 25. Then as people got more and more involved, we were getting $200 donations, a $500 donation.
Great. I mean,
that was really exciting. And
good.
We have absolutely been very grateful for that and have put it to use. It's also, you know, we don't have right now enough in the fund to really cover the attorney that we've had to hire to represent us for the zoning. But, you know, I'm like saying to my husband, but I need a new car. He's like, you know, we have to see this through. You know, we just have to.
Yeah.
So we've
put
taken
so much into it.
Yeah.
You can't stop now.
And we tried to go pro se. And when we went to freehold, the judge, you know, he looked at us. He said, listen, I hold pro se litigants to the same standards as attorneys. And he also was friendly with our attorney in town. And they were like, listen, we don't really see a case to go forward.
Okay.
So so we then were encouraged to go to the appellate courts.
Wow.
And then to take, you know, take action that way. So the appellate courts in Trenton decided that they do see that we have merit and that they were sort of surprised at the way we were dismissed. So we have a lawsuit right now.
So you have an attorney representing the appeal right now.
Yeah,
you just do it right the first time.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll do it right the first appeal. Let's hope that this. Yeah, I hope
for you. It's too important not to lose that land.
Yeah,
and I believe on the zoning we will be able to correct that.
Okay. So again, for our Ocean Township viewers, Election Day is.
May 14th.
Tuesday, so May 14th. Come
week.
Out and vote. Yeah, we're under a week. And I guess you'll be, you know, you're probably going door to door. You're pounding the pavement this weekend.
We are. This weekend is going to be a heavy duty weekend of knocking on the pavement, knocking on doors and engaging people. But people have come together. They're all kind of joining in on that. They're coming to my house for signs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really great. I'm so excited with the, you know, if there are Ocean Township residents out there, thank you for all your support. I think we all hopefully can make a difference in the town and preserving what's there.
Okay. So we hope to have you back on once you're on town council.
We have something to celebrate.
Let's hope we have that and we could do the follow-up interview of how Jackie reversed the chaos.
Yeah.
At 32 acres.
Yes. Deal Road and 35.
Okay.
At 35 and Deal Road in Ocean Township, New Jersey.
Fighting the machine.
Yes.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thanks for giving my this time tonight.
Well, thank you so much for with your busy schedule coming on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jackie. Of course, and for being a part of New Jersey Revolution Radio, you know,
yes.
for really being one of our first stories. And it's really neat to spend a year with you. Dipping in and out and following you, you are enthusiastic and your energy is boundless. She's not lying.
Yeah.
We appreciate you coming on very, very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
May have another fundraiser, another music festival this summer.
Cool.
So it'll be another time for us to get to
Keep
work
us
together.
Posted.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right.
Well, if you're out there and you like hearing Jackie's story and you like hearing news from around the world that is anti-capitalist, anti-racist, and not funded by corporate media, you can support us by going to www.njrevolutionradio.com, making a donation via PayPal or Patreon or any other way you can. You can write us a check too. So please support New Jersey Revolution Radio, support independent media. If you believe in a cause, get out there, try and make a difference like Jackie did. And we'll talk to you next Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on New Jersey Revolution Radio Live.
Okay, good night.
Get ready for the next event from New Jersey Revolution Radio.
Hi, I'm Becky from the Coffee House in Edison, New Jersey, and we're looking forward to seeing you at the Community Cannabis Forum on May 29th with New Jersey Revolution Radio.
With host Henry Hank Green.
What I would like to do is make sure that people get a full and an educational and an understanding of what this legislation is about and how it will affect their lives.
And the New Jersey weed man, Ed Fortune.
The governor ran on that. That's what he ran on. He kept talking about equity and legalization. We're going to have diversity. We're going to help the communities that were victimized by the war on drugs, blah, 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 blah.
For more information on this event or for activism going on all over New Jersey, join us on the web at www.njrevolutionradio.com.